The Legend of the Ice People, Book 24, Deep in the Ground, by Margit Sannemo, narrated by Nina Yndis. The Legend of the Ice People begins many centuries ago with Tengil the Evil. He was ruthless and greedy, and there was only one way to get everything that he wanted. He had to make a pact with the devil. He traveled far into the wilderness and summoned the devil with a magic potion that he had brewed in a pot. Tengil the Evil gained unlimited wealth and power, but in exchange, he cursed his own family. One of his descendants in every generation would serve the devil with evil deeds. When it was done, Tengil buried the pot. If anyone found it, the curse would be broken. So the curse was passed down through Tengil's descendants, the Ice People. One person in every generation was born with yellow cat's eyes, a sign of the curse and magical powers which they used to serve the devil. One day, the most powerful of all the cursed Ice People would be born. This is what the legend says. Nobody knows whether it is true. But in the 16th century, a cursed child of the Ice People was born. He tried to turn evil into good, which is why they called him Tengil the Good. This legend is about his family. Actually, it is mostly about the women in his family, the women who held the fate of the Ice People in their hands. Chapter 1. Deep in the ground, dark water runs. Deep in the souls of people run rivers of longing and yearning, love, hate, and despair. No one knows of the hidden waters of the earth. No one can read the lonely thoughts of another person. Yet still they are there. Deep, deep down, veiled in secrecy. There was a godforsaken place in Sweden called Ytterheden. It is now most likely incorporated into a larger district, and its old name is long forgotten. Much has changed in two centuries, and the wilderness that once flourished there has been destroyed. But in the year 1815, Ytterheden really lived up to its name, which meant outer moor. There, at the outermost edge of the land, completely unprotected from the raging sea, lay the bare moor. A few stunted pines resisted the wind, leaning practically horizontally across the land. And the moor grass, of course, short and stiff, intermingled with bristly heather. Farther inland, cold, barren cliffs lifted the landscape, and beyond them, a beautiful range of gentle hills rose up to the forest, which was majestic and inscrutable. At that point lay the small community of Ytterheden. It was a tiny mining community. Most of the houses were concealed among the cliffs and hills, where they were sheltered from the eternal wind blowing off the sea. But there were also one or two houses out on the moor, where the curtains fluttered unceasingly in the drafts from loose window frames, and where any tar or paint on the outside walls would soon peel off. There were no fishermen in Ytterheden. The ocean was far too turbulent and full of rocks lurking just below the surface. The nearest fishing villages were situated miles down the coast. In springtime, the moor was a splendid sight, a place where one would long to go again and again. Amid the intense spring green of the grass, the coastal flowers sunned themselves under the light sky, and the birds flew low across the white expanses. And for a brief period in late summer, it was as though the heath was on fire. That was when the heather bloomed. But late in the autumn, when the heather was blanched to an ash-grey colour, storms whipped the ocean into white foam and semi-darkness reigned everywhere. Ytterheden seemed more like an evil place. Then people would huddle together in their little houses, tucked.